St. Paul says, as we heard in the second reading today, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. My brothers and sisters, what does he mean by that? What occurs when we proclaim the death of the Lord? What do we believe by faith? This last year, I've been reading a book on ecclesiology, which is the theology of the church. And the author made a point that I was totally unaware of, a truth that we believe by faith. And he related it by speaking about the mystery of the Immaculate Conception. What do we believe about Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? That from the first instant of her life, the moment she was conceived in the womb of her mother, she was preserved from sin. That sin never touched her soul her entire life. So sometimes people hear that and say, well, gosh, if she never knew sin, then why would she need a Redeemer? That means she would not have needed to be saved. And therefore, the Catholic faith contradicts Scripture, which says everybody needs salvation. My brothers and sisters, what do we believe about the Immaculate Conception? That Our Lady was preserved in view of the cross of her Son. That our Lord Jesus Christ, as he died upon the cross, he suffered for his mom so that she could have been preserved from original sin. So that sin would never touch her soul. So God, in advance, knowing that his Son would suffer, gave her that incredible grace. But the point that the author makes is that is true not just of the grace that Our Lady received, but every single grace that was given before the coming of our Lord. That from the moment Adam and Eve fell, why didn't God give up on them? Why did he not abandon the human race? Because he was going to send his Son. And so every grace given from Adam and Eve until the coming of our Lord was given in view of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. He would merit every grace given to the world in that moment. Okay, so that's before our Lord comes. What about afterwards? Where does the grace that every single one of us receive come from? The exact same source, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the mystery we celebrate today. How? When we proclaim the death of the Lord, when we celebrate Holy Mass, because what do we believe about Mass? That the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes present here and now. That every time we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice of Calvary becomes present. That we enter into that mystery. And so the sacrifice of the Mass is the one same sacrifice of Calvary. So every grace that we receive comes from the Mass. Every grace we receive comes from the Eucharist. Just yesterday, we had the ordinations for the diocese. Do you know how many men were ordained? Eight new priests for Sacramento Diocese. That is the most ordinations we've ever had in the history of our diocese. An incredible gift. It was so beautiful all throughout the ordination mass, constant reference to one mystery of our faith. That these men are ordained for a primary purpose, to sacrifice, to celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass, so that the cross can become present for all of us. If you ever read, actually I don't ever recommend reading it, but if you ever read canon law, so every country, every government has laws by which it is run, right, that we're all supposed to abide by. The same is true for the church. The church is governed by canon law. And there is a law of the church that says this to priests. The daily celebration of the Mass is most earnestly recommended to every single one of you. It is your principal duty. And this is why you'll see pictures of someone like Pope John Paul II, before he was a pope, when he was a young priest, celebrating Mass on a flipped-over canoe. Because he's out on a trip with his youth group, but he wanted to make sure to celebrate Mass. Or you can read about someone like Cardinal Nguyen Van Thuan, who died just a few years ago, a Vietnamese cardinal who spent 13 years in prison, suffering under communism, 9 years in solitary confinement, and he tells the stories about what gave him hope. when he would celebrate Mass in the palm of his hand with a crust of bread and a few drops of wine. Or why 8 days from now, Tuesday following this Tuesday, at 4 a.m. before I leave for the Holy Land, taking a bus from Presentation, at 3:15 I will be in here celebrating Mass. And you are all invited. Because it's what I was ordained for. So that every single one of you can receive the graces that our Lord won upon the cross. Because this is how God willed that they would be distributed through the celebration of the Mass. And it's so beautiful to hear about someone like St. Padre Pio, who lived this mystery. You know, when the woman in his parish asked him, "Father, how is it possible that you stand throughout the celebration of the Mass?" Padre Pio's Masses, how long would they last for? 2 hours at a minimum. He could hardly walk. As his life advanced, the suffering that he had from the stigmata in his feet, the wounds of our Lord, from which he would bleed profusely, they would have to wheel him from the monastery over to the church across the courtyard just to celebrate Mass, because it was difficult for him to walk. And yet he would stand for nearly 2 hours to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. And so a woman asks him, "Father, how is that possible?" And he said, "Because, my dear woman, it is not then that I am standing. It is then that I am nailed to the cross. It is then that I am sharing in our Lord's Passion, which we celebrate. Every grace flows from the Eucharist." And I want to share just one that I personally have received, I believe, largely from one man's devotion to Holy Mass. And that is the devotion of my grandfather, my dad's dad. My grandfather is a convert. He entered the church 45 years ago. From that day until the present time, today, he has never one single time missed daily Mass. Except a few occasions he was hospital bound, and on those days a priest brought him communion. I remember years ago, before he retired, a priest at Jesuit High School, he was speaking with him and he said, "You know, Father, I try to get to daily Mass. You know, I go every day, but sometimes it's difficult with business because I have to travel. And so if I can't find a Mass being celebrated in the evening in the city that I'm going to, you know, sometimes I'll delay my travels, but then I worry about my business. You know, what if I don't get a deal because of that?" The priest said, "Dave, if it means that much to you to go to daily Mass, you contact me any time before you leave, and I will celebrate Holy Mass for you." This priest would get up at 2:30 or 3 or 3:30 or 4 to celebrate Mass so that my grandfather could attend. I believe that's the primary reason our Lord gave me the gift of my vocation. It is a marvel that when we are going through trials, that when we're stressed, we're tired, that we turn to anything other than the Eucharist. You know, it's amazing if we think about, why don't we flock here immediately to be with our Lord? We call a friend. Or we have a drink, or we go for a run, or we turn on the TV, or we go for a movie, or we have a smoke. Now, none of those things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, and our Lord gives us those gifts. But should not the Eucharist come first, the source of every grace? I close with this quote from a recent saint of the church, Saint Faustina. She said, "Every morning, I prepare myself for the whole day's struggles. Holy Communion assures me that I will gain the victory. And so it is. The bread of the strong gives me all the strength I need to carry out my mission and the courage to do whatever the Lord asks of me."